everybody, welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us on this Friday Eve. What, Mr. Smith?
Well, I want to say good morning to Dan Orlovsky and stuff like that. And I just want to say for the record, before we get into the debate and everything like that, you know, I'm not laughing at people being injured. I really am not laughing at people being injured, all right? I wish DeMarcus Lawrence the best. I want him to get back on that field, be healthy. I don't wish injury on anybody. But how many times do I have to tell Cowboy fans, just wait.
You are unbelievable.
Just wait. Just be patient. Something will happen.
You this are is who so they are. Wrong this for this.
Zach Martin was on the COVID list last week. You got DeMarcus Lawrence getting hurt. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Lael Collins suspended. You got,
Michael Gallup won't be available.
Randy Gregory, he on the COVID list. Did y'all hear Leon Lett, who's the coach? His coach, he had to get carried off the field yesterday.
I'm not smart.
Hold on.
You can't make this up. You can't make this up.
Hold on, Stephen A.
What can go wrong will go wrong when it comes to them damn Cowboys. That's all I wanted to say.
Stephen A., before we get going and me having to mop you up today, two things. While you're a man after my own heart, dogging the Cowboys right now, you called me Elvis. You're the last person at ESPN that should be talking about your hair versus mine.
Excuse me.
Okay. Let's make that clear.
I mean, come on.
You got a five head, not a forehead.
I'm losing. Excuse me, youngster. Excuse me, youngster. I have age on my side. I look pretty damn good to be in my 50s. Bottom line is I wasn't dogging the hair. I'm just saying, damn, I didn't know Elvis. I thought Elvis left the building. I didn't know he was still here. That's all I'm trying to say. Don't get sensitive.
We're going to have some fun. You both look very handsome. I like the outfits. Dan, so happy you're here. The only other place I'd want to see you is coaching UConn football in stores, but I will take you here on
Don't wish that on them. Don't wish
us.
That.
Let's go, Moss.
All right. Let's go. I know what I'll be doing. 8:20 on Sunday night. That would be watching Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Mahomes looking like Mahomes League One. Jackson living up to his nickname, Action, even in a loss. Lamar has yet to beat Mahomes in their three matchups, and you know he was asked about it.
Does that bother you? Does that nag at you that there's, you know, like one team, one player that you haven't beaten yet?
Nah, you know, it's not about, you know, me and Mahomes. Not to me, you know, probably to everyone else. But, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs.
Lost it.
Here you go.
All right. Dealing with some technical difficulties over here, but we will figure this out.
Got it, we got it.
Dan, I will start with you. Do you agree or disagree with Lamar that it's not about him versus Mahomes, but the Ravens versus the Chiefs?
I completely agree with Lamar. I would actually argue that one of the main reasons why the Ravens lost to the Raiders on Monday Night Football was Lamar was trying to do so much. He was trying to be Superman in a situation where his team needed him to be Superman. And I think one of the main mistakes or one of the biggest mistakes a quarterback can make going into any game is thinking I got to do everything myself, that I got to try and kind of put my imprint on this football game, especially early on. A player like Lamar Jackson, you are so talented and so great when your team is decimated with injuries, and that's what the Ravens are, decimated at the tailback spot. Their offensive line played absolutely atrocious and they're beat up, and we know their secondary lost Marcus Peters. When your team is beat up like that, the goal should always be get the game to the fourth quarter. You know, no, don't try and be special and do so much first, second, third quarter. Get the game to the fourth quarter, and then when the fourth quarter comes, then you can go be special. But we see so many quarterbacks, specifically young ones, thinking going into a game, I got to go be special. He missed so many easy throws on Monday Night Football just because he was trying to do so much. And if he goes into this game thinking, well, I got to try and outshine Patrick Mahomes or outplay Patrick Mahomes or prove to everybody I'm just as good, they're going to start this season 0-2 mainly because of his poor play. I got to look at Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator. Stop calling cover zero when Marcus Peters is out and Tavon Young, one of their young corners, is coming off an ACL injury. I got to look at Mark Andrews, who their tight end, who's one of the best tight ends in football. Okay,
yes, he is.
He's one of the best tight ends in football. Three catches on Monday Night Football. You got to step up. I need you to step up in a big game. The last time the Ravens played the Chiefs, you had three catches. Mark Andrews, you're paid all that money to play your best in big-time games. So I agree. This has got to be a Ravens versus the Chiefs rather than Lamar versus Patrick.
Well, you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, because that's not reality. You're breaking it down scientifically because being the astute football analyst you are, and I certainly am not challenging your football knowledge. You know me better than that. You're that dude. But here's the reality of the situation. I'm a pundit, but I'm a fan as well. And I'm on the outside looking in. If you want to go into the specifics and the nuances of it, of course, in reality, that's what it comes down to. But that's not how it's going to be judged, Dan Orlovsky, and you know better than that. The reality is that we look at Lamar Jackson, and we see a stud, a superstar athlete, an electrifying box office caliber player who a lot of people would be looking at, and they say, okay, A, your level of accuracy needs to increase. Some of those throws that he missed on Monday Night Football, he needs to make some of those throws, two or three of those a game. That's what he needs to do. Why do we say that? And why do we elevate the level of accountability that we're throwing in Lamar Jackson's direction, Dan Orlovsky? We're doing it because there's somebody in this conference that does it all the time. That same dude that won a league MVP, just like Lamar Jackson. That same dude that threw for 50 touchdowns, which Lamar Jackson hasn't done. That same dude that has already won a Super Bowl and went to back-to-back Super Bowls, which is Patrick Mahomes. That ain't Lamar Jackson. And so when we look at greatness, a lot of times, fair or not, we measure them against one another. Tom Brady didn't play against Peyton Manning in terms of Peyton Manning being on the defensive side of the ball. Peyton Manning was a quarterback just like he was. Tom Brady had to go against the Indianapolis Colts and ultimately the Denver Broncos defense. All right, Peyton Manning had to go against New England's defense. But it still didn't stop us from looking at them and judging them. It still didn't stop us from taking stock of the amount of wins and losses they had against one another. And yeah. So at the end of the day, Dan, that's what it's going to come down to. You're going to look at Lamar Jackson. Credit to him because of his electrifying talent and his greatness. We're going to also look at what he's missing because we know what Patrick Mahomes got. You don't get to, you if you're Lamar Jackson, you don't get to ignore that. You can try, but it ain't going to work.
All right, two things. This is one of the reasons why I love Patrick Mahomes and I hate Patrick Mahomes, because we compare everybody to Patrick Mahomes. Lamar can still be great and play great and not be in the same stratosphere as Patrick, because he isn't. As a quarterback, Patrick Mahomes has been already comped to some of the greatest ever. We've talked about him being the most impressive or most talented guy we've ever seen come into the NFL. So for Lamar to think, I got to go do that or I got to go be that, then you're automatically going to kind of minimize your impact. I go back
to Cleveland. That's not what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, but you're saying you're going to compare his performance to Patrick Mahomes's.
But here's what I mean by that. I'm not talking about Patrick Mahomes throws for 400 yards, so Lamar Jackson has to throw for 400 yards. Patrick Mahomes completes 70% of his passes, so Lamar Jackson has to complete at least 65% of his passes. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Be who you are. But from an impact perspective that leads to a win, you're 0-3 against this brother. You're going up against him. We're going to count the L's as they continue to accumulate. Whatever it is that you do that works for you, it needs to be good enough to beat that dude. Otherwise, we're going to say, yo, you're not winning against this dude.
Yeah, and I agree with that. My mind goes back to, you remember the Monday Night Football game against the Browns last year?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything Lamar did in the first or second quarter? Because I don't.
But
I remember
the fourth quarter.
That's right. I remember those plays in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But that's my thing, is if Lamar is going to go and say, I've got to go be so special and so great, he's going to play poorly. In the first and second quarter, he will play poorly because he's going to be trying to do so much. But if he just keeps his team in the game and doesn't try to be special until the moments where special is needed, then they got a shot. But it's going to take a little bit from Mark Andrews.
On,
it's going to play a little bit from their defensive coordinator.
Listen, Steve Nate,
that's the reality, though.
Listen, you got Sammy Watkins, you got Hollywood Brown, you got Mark Andrews. These brothers can play. They're not scrubs, but let's call a spade a spade. Lamar Jackson needs to be special in order for Baltimore to win most weeks.
Agree.
So if that's the reality, why shouldn't he have that mentality when you're going up against somebody as special as Patrick Mahomes, as Tyreek Hill, as Travis Kelce? Now, he ain't the only one that needs to have a commitment to be as special. Mark Andrews needs to look at Travis Kelce on the opposite side of the field and say, I need to be on that level. Sammy Watkins needs to look at his old, you know, his former teammates like a Tyreek Hill and be like, I need to be on that level. Certainly, you need to be able to do. Other guys need to step up. But Lamar Jackson can't be like, well, you know what? It's not about me and Mahomes. People are going to look at it and it's going like this. We know Mahomes going to show up. Are you going to show up? That's all we're saying. We ain't saying nothing more than that, Dan.
I'm with that. That's fair.
We'll leave it there. Chiefs favored by 2.5.
See the wisdom? See how Dan embraced the wisdom? I mean, I got
Dan loves learning about quarterbacks from you, Stephen A.
That's right. Yeah.
That's, That's what he told me in private. He's like, I need to come on first thing and get schooled about the quarterback position so I can help break things down.
We all know I'm playing because that brother's got more football than I know. But let's go.
All right.
I got it.
Guys, Thursday Night Football, it's my Giants. Two NFC's rivals look to bounce back after week one losses. Daniel Jones still dealing with the fumbling issues. He went 22-37, 267 yards, one TD against Denver. Meanwhile, in relief of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is on the IR, Taylor Heinicke, 11-15, 122 yards, one TD. It is being widely reported, including by Adam Schefter, Saquon questionable, expected to play 4 days after he made his return from ACL surgery Sunday versus the Broncos. New York will also be without tight end Evan Ingram, their starting left guard, and outside linebacker Cam Brown. Stephen A.
Yes.
Who is – I don't even want to ask you this.
Okay. All right.
I don't know your answer, and I don't even know if I want to know your answer.
What's that?
Who is the better quarterback, the backup, Taylor Heinicke, or the starter, Daniel Jones?
Excuse me, of course it's the backup, Taylor Heinicke. I mean, what are y'all talking about?
You're
come on, y'all. Can we stop it, guys? I know y'all living.
Can you stop it?
I want to say this. First of all, Daniel Jones went to Duke. He didn't go to UConn. Y'all don't need to be embracing them.
They're both basketball schools.
I'm just saying, I understand that, but you don't need to be embracing him like that. You don't need to be embracing him like that. He didn't go to UConn. That's number one. Number two, 40 turnovers since 2019, 18 fumbles. The brother can't hold on to the ball. What are we talking about here?
What are we talking about here?
Okay, Taylor Heinicke. Now, we haven't seen much of him, but he did quarterback in a playoff game. We saw how he played pretty damn good against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We saw him come in after Fitzpatrick got hurt on Sunday. He completed more than 70% of his passes. He didn't look too shabby at all. So when I'm looking at a Taylor Heinicke, of course, the resume I give you on that, Daniel Jones has had a lot more playing time than this kid or whatever. But let's face reality. We're literally wondering right now whether Daniel Jones is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL after this season. We're literally wondering about that because the former number 6 overall pick, picked by Dave Gettleman, you look at everything else the Giants got.
Yeah.
They picked up Galladay, who's a number 1 receiver, okay? We see what they got in Ingram at the tight end spot. We see some of the other weapons that they have, offense and defensively. And some of their draft picks have been impressive as well. What's the question? With Saquon Barkley returning, what's the question? What is the holdup about the Giants? It is one thing above all else by leaps and bounds.
What?
It is Daniel Jones. He is the question
That's
mark.
That's not fair. It's the offensive line, and look who's calling the plays.
No one's more critical
of Jason Garrett than you. Sorry, Dan. You're the one debating, but this one's a little personal for me.
Yeah, it is. You always get personal about the Giants and UConn, but we'll talk about that later, Molly.
Dan, go ahead. But you have to say the play calling hasn't been exceptional by Jason Garrett.
At least Molly didn't get up out of a chair this time, Dan.
Steelers. All right, so Daniel Jones is the better quarterback, but it's a lot closer than it should be.
Okay.
And everyone knows where I stand since the moment they took Daniel Jones in New York. I was like, you should not take this kid, number 6. But, Molly, your point, and I got to go talk about the Giants offense for a little bit here, Stephen A. It's the most antiquated offense in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, they are the imagery definition of insanity when it comes to play calling. Let's do the same stuff over and over and over again and expect it to be different. It's brutal. The most archaic scheme in the NFL. So, while I get your point and the turnovers are a big deal, listen, Tyler Heinicke's thrown 136 passes in the NFL. He got 4 picks himself. That's a pick every kind of 30 throws or something like that. So it's not all that different than Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones is a better athlete. I think Daniel Jones has a stronger arm. I think Daniel Jones is a more accurate thrower. But it's a very difficult evaluation for me to sit here and say, Daniel Jones stinks. Man, his offensive coordinator is so stuck in 2005. It's painful. And I love watching tape. It's painful. I look at it like this, Stephen A. If you flip the situation, if I took Taylor Heinicke and put him with the New York Giants, and then I took Daniel Jones and put him with some skill position in Washington, I truly believe that we see a different version of Daniel Jones. I don't ever think Daniel Jones is going to be a great player. I don't think he has the physical ability to go be a great player in today's NFL at the quarterback spot. But I think Taylor Heinicke, for the solid player that he is much more limited than a Daniel Jones is. Daniel Jones is just in the worst situation in the NFL when it comes to quarterback play.
Let me say this to you. Here's the problem with you, and I'm not even addressing the Molly thing because Molly did everything but stand up out of her chair because she get emotional about her New York Giants, and I'm just not going to – I can't say anything to Molly because I say the Giants uniforms don't look that great. Molly's ready to be apoplectic. I mean, I'm just not going to even go there. Here's the deal.
Good.
Here's
you
the reality
are,
of the situation.
You know better.
You know this, Dan, and you know this too, Molly.
What?
I'm just looking at some of these cats on their roster, right? Sterling Shepard, can he play?
He can play.
Galladay, can he play?
Solid player.
Kyle Rudolph's your backup tight end now. You got him from Minnesota. We know he can play,
he can
right?
Play.
This kid, Kadarius Toney, out of Florida. I mean, this brother, listen, they're talking about the potential, how electrifying he could potentially be as a playmaker, right?
Yeah.
Did it ever occur to y'all, because I want you to understand something, I'm not trying to act like Taylor Heinicke is so special.
Sure.
I'm denigrating Daniel Jones based on his penchant for turnovers. What I'm saying to you, and it's a question more so than anything else, Dan, is it possible that the New York Giants are as archaic as they are because they don't believe in their quarterback? Is that possible?
No, I think they are as archaic as they are because their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, doesn't know anything else. This is the same offense that he ran 15 years ago. It's the same offense that he ran with Tony Romo. Stephen A., I'm with you. We see Daniel Jones relatively the same. Okay, gives the ball away way too much. I want him to play as smart as he is. But it's really difficult to sit here and crush him as a player. When I watch that offense, and I'm literally being honest here, it's the worst offense in the NFL scheme-wise. There's not a single moment where the players are put at an advantage because of the scheme. They're often put as a disadvantage. I think if I'm taking the players and just removing them from situations, I still believe Daniel Jones is better. But to your point, it should not be this close. He was the sixth pick of the draft. Taylor Heinicke's a journeyman that's been on four different teams. But Daniel Jones, I still think, is a better player.
Dan, we got to go to break quick. But real quick, I just want to know this for the Giants, because something has to happen. If somebody had to be cut, who is it at this point for you? Who are you pointing the finger at? Is it Gettleman for drafting him? Is it Jason Garrett? Like, what are you
Garrett
doing
first.
If you are the – so Stephen A. saying it's Garrett right now.
First.
Like, what are you doing if they get beat down tonight?
I agree with Stephen A. I'm moving on from Jason Garrett. Now, maybe Freddie Kitchens is the answer, who had some moments when he came in with Baker Mayfield, but then he was the head coach. He was terrible. There's a difference between being a good head coach and a good play caller and a good offensive mind. I think it's Jason Garrett.
Gettleman is gone at the end of the season if the Giants don't do something this year. He's on his way out. John Mara, you listen to him coming into the season. It's clear they're going to make change. They ain't tolerating this much, so much longer. Okay, we understand that. I think their record like now under Gettleman is like 15-34, Dan, if I remember correctly. It's like 15-34.
It's bad.
John Mara's not tolerating that any longer. But based off of what Dan is saying, Jason Garrett has to go if this offense remains as predictable. And there's nothing about Joe Judge that says he's averse to change. Which is why what you're saying kind of surprises me, because I'm thinking it's the limitations of Daniel Jones that has them this way, because they didn't acquire all of this talent to be as predictable as you say they are.
And I know we got to go, Molly. I think it should be the flip in New York.
Okay.
Because I don't think that they should try to put limitations on Daniel Jones. I really think because of his athleticism, they should unleash him a little bit, but they try to box him. Molly, Giants fans can sit at home tonight and know exactly where Daniel Jones is going to be in the pocket every single snap.
That's
they don't
problem.
Move him at all for a guy who's a good athlete. I agree, Stephen A. If they don't play well tonight, they have to look at it because they got to win, to Stephen A.'s point. They have to look at the offensive coordinator spot. The three of us can put together a better offense by next week easily.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, except for you. You know, Stephen A., I think 2022 is my year as a sports fan.
Yeah. It ain't 2021.
No.
It ain't 2021.
It is not, especially after that Purdue game Saturday.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, before our next debate, Dan Orlovsky, I understand you really came to face Mr. Smith today, and I'm hearing that you have prepared a little something for Stephen A. Okay, let's roll that tape.
Oh, boy.
All right, Stephen A., so I'm always coming on your show, and you're always saying, like, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. You're paying attention to everything I say because you want to try and jump on me and my take. So I wanted to let you know that I'm also watching you, and there's some things that I want to share with you when it comes to the way you go about your business. First of all, as we watch this tape, watch your feet and all the movement that it has. Stephen A., put your feet in the ground and be where you are. This is not dance class lessons with Stephen A. Smith and Michael Irvin. Keep your feet where you are. Number one, I'm going to talk about that left hand in the pocket. There's a theme here. That's step number one with you. Number two is this. Here we go. Watch. We're going to get this with Dave. Look at my guy, Big Wood. Big Wood has got vision on the people at home. The people at home are tuning in to listen to the things that you have to say. What are you looking at over here? You should be paying attention to the people in the camera. They're tuned in to watch you. But we're going to watch another thing here. Number two, Stephen A., keep your hands out of your pockets. Also, can I get a bone-in filet? What is this outfit? Get some better color coordination. Get your hands out of your pockets, Stephen A. This is television. And then the third, look at this. Are you brokering a deal or something with Marcus Spears? Are you guys talking real estate or something? Are you trying to sell him a product? Get your left hand out of your pocket. Stop leaning up against something because you work so many hours that you're so tired. Address the man. He's trying to teach you something about football. And then what is this with your hands? Keep them stationary. Keep your feet still. Stephen A., you're always saying, I'm watching you. I just want to let you know, share those things with you that maybe you can get a little bit better, reach the goals that you want when it comes to this industry. And I'll see you soon. That's right.
I'm going to get you.
That's right.
I'm gonna get you.
Just a couple nuggets.
You don't know what you done started. You don't know. I mean, you see the
end. That was so good, Dan.
First of all, I'm getting all the. Listen, I'm getting Lee Fitting. I'm getting you. I'm getting Swaggoo.
I'm getting Mina.
I'm getting all the. Everybody was in on this. You see everything. Oh, all of y'all. I'm coming for all. You done started something now.
Now I know your security blanket.
He used the big board on me and talked about my outfit.
I thought this man was trying to broker
some kind of deal with Marcus Spears. Man, I got 3.5 on the rate. Maybe I could get it down to 3.4 or something like that.
Damn.
Yeah, you know, we saw the white coat. I just wanted to know, can I get a bone-in filet and mac and cheese?
How about when he clowned the outfit?
He did. That was low. I can't believe him of all people.
Looking like a Mater D with some of them damn suits
he be wearing. He talk about my outfit.
That was a pretty fly outfit I had on that day, too.
But it's all right. NFL Live.
I needed that laugh, Dan.
NFL Live, come on in the afternoon. Must-see television. Everybody watching.
4 o'clock.
And he didn't come on First Take and do this. Oh, no. He used the big board in the studio and just, oh, y'all done started something. That's all I'm going to say.
Y'all done started something.
Stephen A., he is watching you.
All right, it's all right.
He is watching you.
They done started something now. Now, I watch NFL Live anyway.
All right.
But now,
guys,
y'all in trouble.
We're also
y'all
watching quarterbacks, especially in Chicago. Let's do this.
So
the Bears took a beating in L.A. for Matthew Stafford and his new squad, the Rams, in SoFi. We know the fans are calling for Justin Fields. The question is, do you throw the rook into the fire behind a shaky O-line when Chicago hosts a surging Joe Burrow in the Bengals? So in that Rams game, Andy Dalton threw for 206 passing yards, one INT, no touchdowns, 0-1 on throws, more than 10 yards downfield. The new guy, Justin Fields, 2-of-2 for 10 yards and a rushing TD off the bench in his NFL debut. Dan, you are up first. Who should the Bears start week two?
Justin Fields, because it gives them their best chance to win the football game. You know, three things that stand out to me from Molly. I watched the Patriots play this past weekend with Mac Jones. And the number one thing that stood out in my mind was, man, they really built this offense around the things that Mac Jones does well. And they never asked him to do things he can't do. That's good coaching. And I sit here constantly and ask myself, why can't the Bears do that with Justin Fields? I understand that the Bears have a playbook that is 4 inches thick. And that's a lot of information for a young player to take in. So minimize it a little bit. Build the offense around the things that Justin Fields can do. Because the reality is, and I watched that offensive line play the other night, they weren't atrocious. They weren't by any means great. But everyone was talking about, wow, if you play Justin Fields, there's no doubt that you're going to get him killed. I watched him play. I watched Zach Wilson for the Jets. Everyone remembers the big hit that Justin Fields took in the preseason against the Buffalo Bills. Zach Wilson took the same hit. But his coaches are playing him because that's the best way that he can learn. And I'm sitting here going, if the Bears truly want to win football games, because it's not necessarily the question of who's the better quarterback right now. If you want to have the conversation that Andy Dalton might be a better NFL quarterback right now, I could sit here and have that vibe. But it should be this. Who's the better quarterback for the offense? Or what offense is better given the quarterback that is playing? And that's Justin Fields. Marcus Spears said it this week. I watched the Atlanta Falcons get absolutely run through by the Philadelphia Eagles. And they took an athletic quarterback in Jalen Hurts and built an offense around him with some of the RPOs and a quarterback run game. And Marcus said it. You have an advanced version of Jalen Hurts in Chicago. You have a significantly more talented version. If you just build an offense around him, the Bears have a legit chance to win football games. Because I go into every week, and I'll go into week two when they play the Bengals, and I go, I expect the Bengals to win this football game. Mainly because I have no faith in their offense.
Well, see, here's the deal. We disagree, but I don't disagree with the points that you're making about what the Bears need to do. Where we disagree is with the timing. The offensive line was much maligned last year. Supposedly it showed modicum incremental improvement last year, and then they're coming back this year. But all throughout the offseason, into the preseason, into training camp, obviously training camp and preseason, people were still talking about the offensive line. We all know, and this is what I'm shocked that you didn't bring up, you know good and damn well, the only reason that you would sit up there and throw Justin Fields in there at this particular moment in time is if you're Nagy or Ryan Pace and you're thinking about your job, not about what's in the best interest of the team moving forward. Again, we know that Justin Fields is going to be the starter. By week four, I predict he'll probably be the starter. But my point is, right now, Andy Dalton going up against his former team, the Cincinnati Bengals. Ali just completed 71% of his passes last week. He wasn't god-awful. They seem like they're trying to get it together. So it's almost by default that I'm saying this, Dan Orlovsky. Listen, they've been to the playoffs, but we haven't been overly impressed with Matt Nagy. Right. We know him and Ryan Pace are under immense pressure because you moved up in the draft to get Mitchell Trubisky years ago. You passed up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. You've been struggling. You haven't been able to live it down. You brought Nick Foles up in there. That didn't work out. Mitchell Trubisky ain't even there no longer. He's a backup in Buffalo to a $258 million man that ain't going to be sitting down, okay? Which means he's just going to be holding the clipboard and practicing. He ain't going to be playing come Sunday. The bottom line is when you look at the Chicago Bears, if you put Justin Fields in before all your ducks are in a row, you might be jeopardizing him. That's my issue. Again, he's going to be the quarterback. I'm just saying, wait a couple of weeks. Now, you should be able to hold your own against Cincinnati,
yeah,
even though they on the come up. That's my only issue, Dan Orlovsky. That's where I'm coming from.
My pushback would be this. You're only going to ruin a player, because that happens a lot at the quarterback spot, if they can't do it here. And that's why you got to know Justin Fields. This isn't a, man, Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a big, thick guy. Like, he is going to be able to absorb some of the hits that he might take with some of the protections. Can he deal with some of the struggle? And if you believe that he can, there's no question about it, Stephen A., that you put him on the field. And this is the point that I think is the most important in the whole situation, and the Bears fans should be paying attention to. Again, it's not necessarily who we think is the best quarterback. When each of them plays, which one makes the best offense? Because I know exactly what this offense is with Andy Dalton. It is a bottom 10 offense at best, given the limitations up front, somewhat of the limitations at the skill position and the scheme. Justin Fields makes this offense in totality better. And if you're going to sit here as a coach and say, you know what, he's not ready to play, that's on you. Because I just pointed out Mac Jones and the Patriots.
But we know it's on them. But it's on them. Matt Nagy is not Bill Belichick.
Right.
We know it's not them. We
so
know
why,
it's,
so what changes in 3 weeks then? Are they going to be better? What changes in tour? Are they going to be better coaches in 3 weeks?
Well, no, but I do think that an additional time with Justin Fields, because remember, I don't think that Justin Fields should be thrown into the Lions then against the Cleveland Browns a week from now, a week after Cincinnati. So my point is this. You go week four and on, you give him that first quarter of the season, pretty much that. And then after that, you give it to him. Until then, you got Andy Dalton in there. You're bringing Justin Fields in there to do some plays for you. You've got duality at the quarterback position in terms of the weapon that he can present to you. I'm not saying bench the dude and don't play him. But when you hand the reins to him as the starting quarterback, you can't go back. So why do that in week two?
Is injury you're worried about, or is injury what you're worried about being behind that offensive line, or is it more so his confidence?
I'm not worried about his confidence. I am worried about his protection. Yeah. I am worried about how ready Matt Nagy has everybody around him by week two. I think the additional time is beneficial before Justin Fields is handed the reins, because once you give it to him, you can't take it back.
Yeah,
it's his.
Stephen, I agree with the protection, but here's the point. Because I do college football every weekend, and you talk to some of these coaches, and when you hear college football coaches talk about sometimes we got to play freshman quarterbacks, and we can't give them the whole playbook. We just got to give them little bits and pieces to make sure we ease them in. Okay. My question from the jump is, why won't the Bears do that? It's not, we don't have to run all of our protections, but a really good coaching staff could go, you know what, maybe we're not going to do in things that are going to expose him, so to speak, but we can ease him, because the reality is this, his physical talent will mask so many of the things that they are incapable of doing or won't do.
Whoa. Dan Orlovsky, you were on here a couple years ago. We were talking about Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
And you were lamenting how athletic he was,
right,
and how little use was, how little 100%. He was being utilized in that regard. Same coach.
Agree.
Same system. Same dudes. So now it's Justin Fields instead of Mitchell Trubisky. Now, I think that Justin Fields is an upgrade from Trubisky, but nevertheless, the coaching is the same. The apprehension is the same. And because of that, I'm saying, you just go drill Justin Fields up in there. I don't know about that in week two. I'd feel much more comfortable if they did it week four after they played Cleveland in week three. Utilize Justin Fields coming into the game, throwing a ring, you know, just throwing something into the mix to sort of discombobulate and confuse opposing defenses. Go there in Cincinnati and Cleveland, respectively, over the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. See how that works for you. Get his legs out from under you. Get him started. Get him geared up. Hand him the reins in week four and go from there. That's what I would do.
I would say the Chicago Bears should sit down and watch the Philadelphia Eagles film from this past week. Watch what the Baltimore Ravens do with Lamar Jackson. Watch what the Buffalo Bills do with Josh Allen. And then watch what the Rams do with Matthew Stafford. Figure out, like, build an offense around that stuff and play Justin Fields as soon as possible.
Well, listen to what you're
saying,
man.
But then it's also what saves their job, Dan. Yeah. You know, I wonder if they feel like they're better off playing Dalton for some reason.
I think, Molly, this is a guess. This is an assumption.
Right.
That I think ownership has given them assurance that they'll be there next year, both head coach and general manager. And why they're being so peaceful and patient with this decision.
I will say this.
Interesting.
Hold on. The reports, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, the reports were saying Dalton started because when he was signed, remember, they wanted to trade for Deshaun Watson in the offseason. Russell Wilson. I apologize.
Right. Yep.
That did not happen.
Yeah.
So once that did not happen and they acquired Andy Dalton, they made promises to him that he would be the week one starter. You see what I'm saying? That's why he started week one.
But why are you making promises to Andy Dalton?
But because they didn't have anybody. Once they had moved Trubisky, they wanted to make sure they got...
Is that who you should be making promises to?
I'm just saying, to start week one. But we're talking into the season. I say, wait. You know, use Justin Fields.
It feels like their loyalties are a little bit off.
And then give them the reins week four.
Dan, last word here.
The challenge for the Bears right now is their defensive football team goes into every game thinking they're not going to win until they put Justin Fields on the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of used to that, Dan. They felt that way all last year.
Chicago deserves better.
What's two more weeks? They felt that way the whole last season.
Okay.
What's two more weeks?
That's messed up.
Two more weeks.
Stephen A., just trust the process.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business.
And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The Falcons, coming off a loss at home to Jalen Hurts in Philly, have to travel to Tampa to face Tom Brady and the defending champs. You know, whenever Brady is brought up around Matt Ryan, everyone's mind goes to that Super Bowl collapse in 2017. Here's Matty Ice.
A lot of it made because you played Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, 328 jokes. I know you hear about all the time.
I don't. I've never heard of it. Listen, of course we want to win this week, but it's not going to make up for that. Like, you know, it's one of those things. It's a part of your past. It's part of what happened. You know, but it's got no bearing on this week.
Dan, let me ask you this. Do you think it's fair or unfair that that constantly follows Matt Ryan and is always brought up, that Super Bowl collapse?
Y'all, a piece of work. Y'all, you guys are a piece of work because you guys wanted to bring me on the first day that I come on First Take and ask me if I think it's fair that a single moment or a single play of Matt Ryan's past, if it's fair that it's still brought up about, like, I might be a person that has a single moment or a single play from their past that constantly I have to get reminded.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that I constantly.
What are you referring to?
Yeah, I mean, I have to get reminded. Oh, look at Dan. He ran. Why would you listen to Dan? He ran out of the end zone in 2008, 14 years ago. So now let's bring Dan on and ask him if it's fair that Matt Ryan has to constantly get asked about the comeback in Super Bowl 46 or whatever it was. No, it's not fair. And no, Matt Ryan doesn't care about it. Sure, he would have loved to have won the game, but he also threw for 270 yards against the number one ranked defense in football last year in that Super Bowl. He also threw for two touchdowns. And so while he played incredibly well, he played good. Devontae Freeman's the guy who missed the block. You know, Matt Ryan's not thinking, my tailback is going to miss that block. Edelman has that ridiculous catch. So no, it's not fair. And Matt Ryan doesn't care. He wanted to win the game, but I promise you, he's got two commas in his bank account. He's got a lot of numbers, comma, a lot of numbers, comma, a lot of numbers, period. He's made a lot of money playing football. He's had an incredible career, maybe a Hall of Fame career. And no, it's not fair that people will constantly remind him that they made that comeback, the New England Patriots, and he was a part of it.
Oh, would you stop? Just stop it.
Disappointing, y'all.
Wasn't nobody thinking at all about you running out of the end zone 14 years ago. You just told on yourself. I totally forgot about that. I wouldn't have brought it up anyway. It don't matter. The fact of the matter is, that ain't what this is about. This is about Matt Ryan. And if somebody was saying he was a scrub, or somebody was saying he can't play, that would be unfair. If we sat up there and put blinders on as to how skilled this man has been as a quarterback throughout his career, that would be unfair. But it is totally, totally fair to recall the Super Bowl collapse because of the residue it has left behind. Now, let's take this into consideration. Since that Super Bowl, right, you've had a 10-6 season because you were 11-5 the year you went to the Super Bowl. 10-6, 7-9, 7-8, 4-12 last year, 0-1 now. That is a record of 38-36 since you have lost the Super Bowl. That's number one. Very few pair of appearances, like one or two, all right? You've been missing the playoffs. Number two, Matt Ryan, and nobody brings this up, but I'm going to get on you, Dan, for not bringing this up. Because as knowledgeable as you are about the game, you should be ashamed of yourself for omitting this. That man was 31 years of age. While I do understand that Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator, that man was in his ninth year in the league at the time that he was in that Super Bowl. We all know if they had ran the football and they had milked the clock, New England would have ran out of time to come back from a 25-point damn deficit the way that they do. They kept throwing the football, and that's what cost them. Number three, the point is this. You have the cachet. It's not just that you're the starting quarterback, not just that you were a veteran. You had built enough cachet where you could have made those decisions. That didn't happen. Also, since that time, everything has fallen apart. The franchise hadn't seemed to recover. So many changes have taken place. You got a new head coach, new coordinators. Kyle Shanahan, obviously, when it took the head coaching job in San Francisco. I'm looking at you, Matt Ryan, and this team has been nosediving. They have been a shell of what they used to be. Why can't we look at Matt Ryan and go like this? Yo, my brother, you getting over $30 million a year. You're an all-pro quarterback. Dan Orlovsky just brought up how you warrant Hall of Fame consideration. All of this stuff, this residue, has been happening around you. And what have you done about it? Little to nothing. That is the reality. The defense was bad. A lot of injuries. Terrible. I get all of that. But still, figure out a way to win some games. Win some games.
Okay, Stephen A., whether he had won that Super Bowl or not would not have impacted the future. Kyle
but
still
would
have
call
left.
You a champion. But we would call you a champion.
But and you pointed out he's not a champion because of his play. You pointed out he's not a champion because you thought Kyle Shanahan still should have run the football. I remained adamant, and I said this when it happened. I didn't mind the play call by Kyle on that second and seven because they were going to be aggressive, and that's how they got there. But you can't point out, well, they should have run the football, but then pin it upon Matt Ryan and sit there that he's going to and sit there and say he's going to regret. It was out of his – Devontae Freeman's the guy who doesn't block that person. I'm going to give you this. Yes, in that moment, you would sit there and go, man, you were that close. And surely there's going to be a moment of regret. But it is not something that on a daily basis is going to haunt Matt Ryan. Again, this man has played a ton of really good football. He's made a ton of money. When he hops on the PJ and goes to play golf at some really nice golf courses, he ain't sitting there going,
see, you don't realize this. You opening your mouth, Dan, and you're creating more enemies for Dan for Matt Ryan. I'm gonna tell you why. We might not be that way nationwide because we don't give a damn about the Falcons. Down in the ATL, I mean, we've had T.I. on this show. We've had Ludacris on this show. I've had various people from the ATL on this show. None of them can stand Matt Ryan. Oh, they hold that against him. So trust me, it's about your locale. Let's pay attention to that. Let's also pay attention to this reality. You could talk about, oh, you got there because you were being aggressive or whatever. I see Dan Orlovsky come on TV all the time. He on Get Up. He on First Take. Yeah. He on NFL Live.
He's
omnipotent. He's every damn way, okay? This is what Dan Orlovsky says. Dan Orlovsky says, where's your eyes? What about your fear, the vibe, the man? Sense what's going on. Make changes. Make adjustments. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with you being in the Super Bowl and going like this? Well, damn, we had a 28-3 lead. And it's 28-10, and then it's 28-17, and that damn Tom Brady is over on the other sideline. We might want to do things just a touch differently here because the moment is ours. Let's not give this away. But they didn't do that. And they had a veteran quarterback who had the power to tell somebody as significant as Kyle Shanahan, yo, we don't need to do that. I think we need to do this. Matt Ryan didn't do that. He didn't do that. And you got to hold him accountable for that, Dan.
As somebody that has stuff from their past, it's time to move on. It's unfair that we constantly follow Matt Ryan with, you didn't get it done. It's okay to move on. It's okay to move on.
Let me tell you this.
But they're not getting it done. Hold on.
This is a principle I live by. Stinks. I do not judge people by their worst moment. And I will leave everyone with that. I want everyone to marinate on that because none of us
She's lying.
Judged by the
You're lying.
Moment. No, I'm not.
Molly
really
judges people by their worst moments every day. No. That's a lie.
When I go to bed at night, I say, where can I be better? And I try not to judge people.
My
I do.
Mom,
every day,
must be a UConn thing.
I say, you know, how could I have been better to Stephen A?
Look at Stephen A. Look how much better you're getting today because of Molly and I.
How can I have lift Stephen A more so he can fulfill his dreams? How can I be beside
Molly? Hold on, Molly. I work beside Molly every day. I see you all the time. I'm watching you. You two pick people apart with your critique every day. And she would sit up there on national television with a straight face and say, I don't judge people by their worst moments. When you, she instigates conversations every day.
How does he go with, you could have, I don't judge people by their worst moments. How does he change his voice like that so quickly?
That's, I don't know. I got to learn that. I need a telestration on that.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's go to break.